from there, we're going to continue the law of the harvest, okay? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 as we begin. Galatians 6, okay, I think there are three laws we're going to touch on today. Two laws, probably week after. Next week is the Lord's Supper. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. I hope you have a copy. Brother Joshua, can you take one and then pass? Is that the only one? Or are they over there? Or can just pass to the back. Okay. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. So let's read verse 8 and 9, alright? Verse 8 and 9, okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. There's some more copies. I hope you will take note of this. Okay? Thanks, Jeremiah. Thanks, Joshua. Okay, so let's read together, right? Verse number 8 and number 9. Okay, Galatians 6, verse 8 and 9. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Okay? Now, before I pray, I just want to say, I believe these lessons are very important, not just as church, but for yourself, in your own life, what you do with your life, what habits you sow, what things you do. The more I study this, I know there's a lot of the harvest, but never really have studied it all my Christian life. But when I look through it, I realize one of the things, why we are the way we are, is because of how we sow. What we do with the time we have. What we do with the resources we have. And how God actually have implemented laws in this life. So that when we apply God's laws in this life, we can either reap corruption or we can reap life everlasting. Okay, come, let's pray. And we ask God to speak to us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here with us today. Lord, we read in Matthew chapter 9 that you are the Lord of the harvest. And Father, that you are the one. We know it refers to souls to be saved. But Lord, you are the one who put in the law of the harvest. And I pray today all of us will understand these laws so that we can apply the biblical principle to our life. Lord, many are the principles out there. There are many people talking about different ways of doing things, how we need to live our lives, different philosophies from men, and sometimes, Lord, even close ones. But yet, Lord, nothing else matters except your word. I pray tonight you help us to look into your heart and some of the principles that you have put into your word for us so that we can have a blessed life. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, there's a lot to cover, but I pray that today our hearts will be open to hear your precious word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll just go through the two laws first. The first two laws, law one and law number two is there. We reap only what has been sown. Okay, there are actually seven laws we're going to talk about. First law, last week, we talked about we reap only what has been sown. Okay, and then law number two, we reap the same in kind as we sow. This means sin reaps sin. Hard work reaps the result of hard work. Okay, and this is something that even non-believers can attest. Sometimes we say, God will bless us. Non-believer will come and say, well, I work hard and I got it too. Okay? And so God didn't bless us. It's just that I work hard. That is true. When you work hard, you do get the rewards of your hard work. Whether you are a Christian or not. Because God put it in as a principle. Okay? It doesn't mean that just because you're a Christian, you'll get blessed more. In fact, some Christians are lazy, and therefore they don't get what they're supposed to get, because they're lazy. Versus a non-believer who works very hard. Okay? He gets all that he needs. Okay? So that's the law of the harvest. Okay? Welcome back, Brother Ping Kwang. Okay? I hope you don't get jet lag during the message, but never mind. Okay, law number three. You're going to touch on law number three. We reap in a different season than we sow. Law number three in the law of the harvest, we reap in a different season than we sow. This is a very important principle for every Christian and everyone to understand, because by nature we are very impatient. We want it and we want it now. But God has put in the law, we reap in a different season than we have sown. Okay, I just, in my notes here, have you heard this before? Sometimes people will say, how come we do right and do what is good, but never get the blessings from God. And yet those guys who don't do the right thing and lie and cheat and sin, and yet so-called they are blessed. And so we as Christians get discouraged. What's the use of serving God? What's the use of putting in the time? What's the use of going door knocking? What's the use of serving God faithfully? What's the use of reading the Bible? I get nothing from it. It's very dry. What's the use of praying? What's the use of going, stretching out myself in service? What's the use of planning? What's the use of going for teens camp? What's the use of all these things? And understand this. You won't get the results now, but it will come. Okay, because one of the law, remember a law is unchangeable, okay, meaning that it will happen. We reap in a different season than we sow, okay. Realize we do that. There are two parts to that, the negative part. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32, let's all turn there, okay. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35, this is a very important verse. We try to go through all the verses and see from God's perspective, alright? We'll try to go through rather quickly. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Now, what is the significance of this verse? Anyone? Anyone who has done the ACE? What was the significance of this verse? This verse was used by Jonathan Edwards when he preached and he sparked off the Great Awakening, okay, in New England. He preached this in verse 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. From a negative perspective of this law, verse 35, their foot shall slide in due time. Their foot shall slide in due time. That simply means no one can play with sin and think they can get away with it. No one in this universe, Christian or non-Christian. You can think that you can hide from your sin. You can do things in the privacy of your room. You can do things in the privacy of your phone. And no one knows and you quickly delete it. Your foot will slide in due time. That is the law that God has put in. Be sure your sin will find you out. So here, Moses is just reminding them. Please, if you look to the people out there and they are actually doing all that they want. And you here needed to follow God and you're feeling discouraged. Their foot shall slide in due time. Okay? Let's turn to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers is back. Numbers 32, sorry. Okay, just put notes around there, okay? We are learning the law tree. We reap in different seasons than we sow. God says their foot shall slip in due time. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Now, Numbers 32, 16 to 23. This is a very interesting passage. Let me read that. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on the yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen on us on this side. Now, this is a special, special group of people. Okay? They are from one of the tribes. And this is what they say. Moses, we are not going over Jordan to conquer the promised land. Okay? What we're going to do, we'll make a deal with you. Okay? We're going to put our wives and our children on this side of Jordan. But tell you what, when you guys go and fight against the Canaanites, we will go with you. And until all the things have happened and we've conquered the land of Canaan, you allow us to come back here. Does that make sense? So there was two tribes, okay? In Joshua chapter 1, two tribes, I think it's Manasseh and the Reubenites, that say, we will not go over, okay? But we will fight with you. We promise we will serve with you. We promise we will go out and serve with you. When all the things is done, then you give us our inheritance here, okay? So let's move on. In verse 20, Moses said, if ye will do these things, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterwards he shall return and be guiltless before the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Alright? Moses said, okay, fine, when it's time for us to go to battle, we go. And if you go, we fight, we win, we conquer the land, then you're okay to come back to settle your household things. But notice what Moses said next. Verse 23, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You know what Moses is saying? You know, oftentimes it's sure, we always think about, be sure your sin will find you out. He has reference to, you go and do this sin, you hide. In the context of that, is Moses telling these people, you have promised to serve God. You have made promises to serve the Lord. If you back out, be sure your sin will find you out. If you made a promise to do what is right for the Lord, and then you back off, and guess what? Take care of your household things. You know what God says? Be sure your sin will find you out. Negatively, the law of the harvest teaches you will reap in a different season, but mark it down. When we neglect what God tells us to do, it will come back to you. You know, that's a frightening thing. Especially when we've promised the Lord. When I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. It made me remember what Jesus said. No man puts his hand on a plow, and looking back is fit. You know, that's a very serious thing. But you know what? Further than that, in this law, Christians, take note. When we promise that we are going to do what is right, and we back off, God says, be sure, your sin will find you out. Okay, so have that in your mind, not so much to put a guilt trip, but you know, I think I know you, you know me, I care for you a lot. God's word will never change. Okay, I'm not in charge of your life, God is. And when God says that, it's a serious thing. Especially when God is turning over Ambassador Baptist Church. He is literally turning up. If God is going to add another 25% to our church, God is rolling. God is moving, and we better move too. And that's something that I want us to understand. Okay? And that's where, as a whole church, we come together to support one another in this. Right? Negatively, this is what it says. Positively speaking, in Galatians 6, verse 9, we read it just now. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we fail not. Do you realize there's a promise? There's a big promise, and you know, I shared before last week, I shared again. Last year I did share with some people that from the beginning of this year, I think I shared with you before that if God is my boss, okay, with all due respect to the Lord, He employed me to be a pastor. And whole of last year we didn't have a baptism, I'll be out of a job. Okay? Because I had no productivity in that sense. And I shared with you my heart since July, August last year. I said, Lord, what is happening? What is happening, Lord? And so, at the beginning of the year, I pray, Lord, give us a baptism one every month as a way of encouraging our church to move forward. Now, God didn't do that, but God's going to do a lot for us at the end of this year because God wants to teach me a lesson. You sow first, then you reap. You sow first, then you reap. It's not going to come all at once. Just like, remember last week, Banding, right? I didn't have fun. Remember those, huh? Okay? You know, plant the rice first. You will reap in due time. Yes. To me, it's going to set me, I'm going to discuss the man, it's going to set me in terms of our perspective of how God wants us to move. And sometimes, you know, when we work in the children's ministry or different ministry, it's a time that we may not see a result, but you know what? You know what? It challenges us just to be faithful. Amen? Just be faithful. Just going out. Just going out. Just going out. Just going out. There have been people, I've been asked this question many, many times, not just the time, I think someone spoke to me, that our checking is ineffective. We can use other methods. Alright? I've shared with you also that if we go tracking, we have about 100 times more outreach efforts compared to churches that don't do that. Multiply that by man hours, calculated with one particular person, we have about 2,000 to 3,000 man hours out there a year trying to get someone for Christ. Okay? And that's something that we have to understand. This principle means it's just about being faithful out there. It's just about doing the work. It's back-breaking to plan, but it's just about just going out there no matter how tired we are. Because we will reap if we faint not. That's a good application. Okay, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 26. Okay, this law once again. Leviticus 26, verse 1 and verse 4. But I want to encourage us to see the application of these laws, both ourselves and also to our church. Okay, Leviticus 26, verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in when? Due season. When it's time for the rains to come, I will send it in due season. But if you don't follow me, even the due season will be interrupted. That's what God is trying to imply here. Okay? The encouragement God says, I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Okay? And so this is a blessing, this is a promise from God. Okay? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Just take down some notes. Raise your hand if you have any questions with regards to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we all know the whole passage, verse 1 to verse number 8. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time for everything. Now just read, a time to be born, time to die, time to plant and the time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to cast away stones, gather stones together, time to embrace, time to gather, refrain from embracing, time to get, time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, time to tear, rent, time to sow, time to keep silent, time to speak, a time to love, time to hate, time to war, time of peace. There's time for everything, okay? Application of this law, quick application of this law. Number one, because sometimes we don't see immediate results, Christians, please don't think. On two levels. One, don't think we can get away with sin. Okay? Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, verse 12. This is especially applicable for teenagers and youth. Being a teenager before, sometimes we don't want to tell people. We hide. You know, be sure your sin will find you out. Okay? Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of men is fully set in them to do evil. Does that make sense? Is it self-explanatory? That simply means when someone do wrong, if there's no judgment immediately, man is more willing to do, well, I got away with drug trafficking. I think it can happen again. I'll tell you. That's why people keep trying. Okay? But you know what, in verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. You know what Solomon says? Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. And that's a promise. Don't look at the sinners that are prospering through their evil ways. God says, if you fear God, it will be well with you. That's a promise. Because you reap what you sow. Number one, when we don't see immediate results, don't think we can get away with it. Don't think we can make wrong decisions and get away with it. We will pay the price, number one. Number two, second application. We can have instant food, instant coffee, instant noodles, but spiritual growth and development require time. In other words, you must read your Bibles. You must pray. You must come to church. You must serve. You must do something for God. Because otherwise, you will reap what you sow. You know, some of us say, I don't really have a heart to serve. You know why? Because you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. Heart's grown cold. Heart's grown cold. Even the van can grow cold. Did you know that? If you don't use the van for a few days, it can happen. Don't grow cold, Christians. You will reap what you sow. We must be willing to put in the effort. Okay? In faith and patience, sow, third lesson, in faith and patience, sow what is good. Let's turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, had long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. You know the early and the latter rain? The early rain is to let the crops grow. The latter rains is when the harvest is going to come. In other words, when the rains come, it's very important for the... And so the husbandman, the farmer, is patient as they sow the seed and wait for the rains to come. If the waters don't come at the right time, they actually have to irrigate the field. Otherwise, everything that they have done will be lost, okay? You know what? We need to be patiently sowing. Oh, that we have a church that is patient. You know what's the meaning of patience in the Bible? Perseverance. Under situations in which you have no control over. Absolute perseverance, okay? So, be patient. Sow what is good. And then next, point number four. Pray to the Lord of the harvest and don't faint in your service. You know, one of the problems of Christian service, if you're doing something every week, you get tired. If you do it in your own strength. You know, you look at Paul's life, Paul never grew tired. Isn't it interesting? He didn't have MRT. He didn't have a time. Not like us, in MRT at least we sleep. He was always, either he's walking or on a horseback or a donkey or whatever he's going. And have you ever tried to ride on a horse? I've never, because I'm too heavy for a horse. They'll probably reject me or something. But you know, it's not easy to ride a horse. You have to control yourself and balance. And you know what? Paul didn't have an opportunity to rest. But he never grew tired, amen? Paul never grew tired in his service for God. Why? Because he was not working in his own strength. And I'm afraid sometimes when we sow to the flesh, you reap tiredness. Your heart don't look forward to service. You know why? Can I, as incisively as your pastor, caring for your souls? It could be that in your soul, you're not seeking the Lord to serve. You're just doing it because you want someone else either to see, or you're just kind of fulfilling obligation. Oh, don't go down that road that you serve because just to get someone off your back. Serve because you love God. And I can tell you, the more you love Jesus and serve Him, the stronger you are here. I thank God for faithful people who just keep going because they seek the Lord and they seek God and they pray as they serve. I can tell you it's going to get tougher. There's going to be more men. And I'm praying for 3 teaching men in our church that will take the responsibility for teaching, whose life will back up their doctrines, whose life will back up their practice. And that takes effort. But you know, when you serve God with all your heart, it doesn't matter. Because you love God from inside. Don't faint, Christians. The devil wants to make you faint. Life on earth, in the things that you do, will be tired. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know why? When you are with God, your strength gets renewed. When you spend time with God, I wrote an article about they that wait. Why is it that when we wait on God, we actually get stronger? Have you spoken to Christians who, when nothing is happening in their life, they actually start to complain about God, complain about the church, complain about everything else, and they don't seem to realize that they haven't been sowing? Can I say this? When things start going down the complaint track, that's corruption, because we are sowed to the flesh. But you know what? Pray to the Lord of the harvest and don't faint. Be not weary in well-doing, for ye will reap if you faint not. And God has allowed our church to... You know, there are some people who go out every Tuesday, every Wednesday, just keep going out. Tracks thrown out, slam door, that's okay. Keep going. And God is blessing us. And perhaps God is encouraging our church to say, keep going. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Don't faint. Okay, don't faint. Okay, one more point there. Wait patiently on the Lord who will reward you. Let's turn to Psalms 27 verse 13. Psalm 27 verse 13. I hope you take down some of these notes, at least in your heart. Write it down on the tables of your heart. That God will help you remember this. Psalm 27 verse 13, 14. Oh, listen to this one. I have fainted I had fainted, verse 13, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice the phrasing of that verse. I had fainted unless I believed. Notice where faith comes in. Notice that you've got to put your faith and eyes on God. You know, David said, I'm going to faint if not for God putting me in me the faith to trust Him to see the goodness. I can tell you, spiritual life for me was hanging in the sense of, Lord, what's happening at the end of last year? What's happening? What's happening, Lord? If we've been praying, if we've been doing, Lord, it must come to pass. I can tell you from experience, the Bible is absolutely true. Much increases by strength of it. Now, thank God for those Christians and members who say, I'll keep going, I'll keep going, I'll just keep going. For those who have pulled back, no, get back in again. We need one another in the fight against sin and winning people to Christ. But you know, here the Bible says, don't faint. Have faith in God that you will see the goodness of the Lord. How many of you have saw the goodness of the Lord in the ambassador? Put up your hand. Not all. We need to keep trusting God. You know, visitors who come have already seen God's goodness. You know, their sons didn't want to be baptized. Now, he wants to be baptized. This is the goodness of God. And you know what? We need everyone on board and say, we're here to help one another. Yeah, we are weak at times. My knee's not doing well. But you know what? We all can still press on, okay? Be patient on the Lord who will reward you. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. What is the meaning of courage? Esther Joy, today I told you. You asked me, Papa, what is being courageous? Huh? What's courage? I did tell her, to have courage, you need to trust first. So that's why she said faith. You know, we need to have faith. What does it mean to be courageous? Being courageous is oftentimes revealed in a situation. Is it not true? That something is very dangerous. Something demands you to make an immediate decision. It could be that someone may just fell off the boat and is drowning. A courageous man would not be thinking about himself, would jump in to try to save this person immediately. That's courage, right? That's bravery. A person who, despite risk and danger to himself, will actually go in because of someone else. Can I say this? Because of someone else's faith, because of someone else's soul. Maybe we have courage. Have courage. And press on, okay? Be of good courage. And God says He will strengthen your heart. And oftentimes the heart is the weak part. The heart is the weak one. We need God to strengthen our heart. Law number three, we reap in different season than we sow. Law number four, real quickly, I'll try to go through a bit faster now. We reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. Okay, this is seen from God's perspective, alright? That's law number five, it's man's perspective. The law stated here, no fact is more significant and sobering than this one. When we sow good, we bountifully receive from the hand of God, who is debtor to no man. For the harvest is always greater than the seed planted. Okay? From God's perspective, after this we'll illustrate from the Bible, if this were not the case, no farmer would ever plant a thing. If you only get back what germinated in the ground, he would be on the losing end and spend his life in utter futility or meaninglessness. Okay, reaping more than we sow is fundamental to the laws of the harvest, and this is not just true for the agricultural world. It is true for every aspect of life, for the physical and the spiritual, for believers and non-believers as well. Okay, let me just keep reading. The law works in reverse as well. Okay, firstly, when you sow good, you will reap a bountiful harvest. The reverse is true too. If we sow evil, we will also generally reap more than we sow. Okay? Of course, there are some exceptions due to the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. Okay? Like, for example, a farmer may sow bountifully and then have his crop destroyed by a flood or a drought, for example. Or not drought. A flood or disasters. Okay? A farmer may reap bountifully and then because of economic disaster, he couldn't sell and then he will also have problems there. Okay? also for us, you realize this? Many of us, sometimes we have sold to the flesh, and then as a result of the flesh, we have so much problems in the flesh. But you know, God has one principle in the Bible that can help you recover everything. You know what that is? Repentance. And God says, if you will repent, you confess your sin, you repent, come back to me, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. You know how fast locusts eat up vegetation? Do you have locusts in Philippines? Sometimes. How? Very fast, right? Yeah. Well, when I was in Australia, I think it came once in 30 years, I shared before, the plague of locusts, 1990, coming down from the top of Western Australia, within 1 week, 1,000 kilometers. Overnight, the whole vineyard wiped out. Overnight. Okay? And some of the pastors were praising God, you know why? Because the Swan Valley is a place where they make all the alcohol. And the locusts came and literally wiped out. I had the experience of driving through locusts that were smashed through your windscreen, go into your carburetor, and all the squished out, those grasshoppers all squished up. Okay? But the locusts will destroy everything, and it probably take years, months and years for you to grow the crop. And the locusts will destroy all. But God says, if you will repent, I will restore to you all the years that the locusts have eaten. You know what a wonderful blessing of God's grace. For a sinner who has gone away from God and will repent, God says, I'm not only going to put back on you your blessings, I'm going to sometimes even destroy the old. All the old things that have destroyed you. Okay? Alright, now looking at the scripture, let's look at three verses. Let's look at Proverbs 22 verse 8. Maybe you have Brother Joshua, if you enter into Proverbs 28 and verse 8. And Brother Leon, you can help. Oh, don't worry, it's here. See, God provides. Eh? Hosea chapter 8 verse 7. Sorry. Hosea chapter 8 verse 7 for Brother Taylor. Proverbs 22 verse 8, please. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Proverbs 22 verse 8, Brother Joshua.
Proverbs 22 verse 8. He that sows iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail.
Okay. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. The word vanity there is important. It means strictly nothingness. It also means trouble. It also means wickedness. It also means an idol. It also means affliction, evil, mischief, mourning, unjustness, unrighteousness, and wickedness. In other words, if you sow iniquity, you're going to get nothingness, you're going to get trouble, you're going to get a meaninglessness in your life. That's what he says. And that's a promise from the God. If you will play with sin, God says you'll get absolute zero in your life. Okay, I think it was yesterday we were watching this short clip of a documentary about, I think they're just asking people about because of the casinos, a lot of people are into loan sharking, and a lot of people's families are broken, and some people would have to loan money or whatever, you know, just to get by. And you know what? The government has sown casinos, and we're reaping broken families. It's not going to go away. You know, the only way of helping the situation, get rid of the casinos. And that the government will not do, but you pray for the casinos to burn down or something like that, I don't know. You sow sin, which is covetousness, you get broken families. And that's without apology, that's what God says. Okay? And there are many people in Singapore who raise their hands and sign or whatever to, but let's push it through. Fine. Yeah, you're richer, so-called. But you know what? What disturbs me a lot? It's not the rich people that lose money. It's those people who come from overseas to try to support their family back home. And they will spend their whole life savings. And they don't want to go back because why? They lost everything. oh, that God will help us open our eyes. That, but you know what? You see, it's just 1 hour. How much did they sow? They lost our life savings. Negatively. And there's something important for us to understand. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Okay, this is the same in kind, but it is small. They have sown the wind, but they reap the whirlwind. The phrase "sow the wind" means it adds to the foolishness of Israel's human solutions and strategies. You know, Israel was trying to settle problems by using their own solutions. You know what? They are going to reap the whirlwind. They are also going to get more problems as a result. I was thinking of one example. Example is drugs. Okay, you just take a little bit now. You know what? It spreads. And you know, the thing that really get me is this. One small sin affects so many people. Huh? Did you realize that? Do you realize one wrong word, one vulgar word can affect, can corrupt many, 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 many things. People. One act of disunity within the church is enough to break up the entire church. I think you heard of, Pastor John here sometime will talk about, I'm sure you heard, the whole church is broken up because of the color of the toilet paper or something like that in churches in America. Because of pride. Oh, that we would understand this. You reap more than we sow. And if I as a pastor just sow one wickedness in my life, my entire family can be affected. Did you know that? It spreads and spreads and spreads. We need to be very, very careful. You will reap the whirlwind. Parents especially. I've learned this. I'm trying by God's grace to swing things back. And you know what? We can only do that with the power of God's grace. If we live in laziness, you will reap a family that's lazy. But if you will sow to the Spirit of God, and you will make decisions according to God's Spirit, you will have a family that want to walk with God. That's something that I want you to understand. Because the Bible says you will reap more than we sow from God's perspective. God says you're not going to... That's why I said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God's not going to be insulted by us. Okay? So Christian, understand this from Scripture. That's why even as a church, one of the things you will realize, well, Pastor, why are you pushing so hard? You know what? If you don't push, we will naturally die a natural death. Did you know that? If we're not looking out, and we're looking in, and we start fighting. Not that we're fighting one another now, I'm not saying that, alright? But you know what? If we're not looking out for souls, we're so busy looking for souls. Yeah, we do have our quirks and quacks, you know, but you know, if we have a heart that we'll come to pray together, you know what? Let's not take for granted that God's going to add to our church thing. We better fast and pray that the devil won't come in and stop whatever. We need to pray still. We need to sow. I'll give you an illustration from Scripture with regards to this. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I don't want to sound very negative, okay? After we swing to the positive one. Alright? But this one is a very, very important lesson. 2 Samuel chapter 12. The life of David, okay? After he committed adultery with Bathsheba. I want you to notice what happened to him. Okay, the story of David and his sin with Bathsheba. But it's Nathan's indictments and judgment against David that tell the story of sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind, okay? Look at verse number 9. Oh, understand this. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Every time we disobey God, we step on God's word. And God, your word is useless. The word despise means look down upon. The moment we make any decisions against God's word, oh, get it from Scripture, you despise God's commandment. And Nathan pointed to David, why have you despised God's word? You're putting it as if it means nothing. You despise God's word and do evil in his sight. Verse 9. Thank you. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Verse 10. Look at the whirlwind that David has. You have killed Uriah. Verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. That's what God says. You know Uriah, David has four children, three of them died. 75% of his household was wiped out. Children. You kill one, I'm going to take three away from you. The baby died, Absalom died, and one more. Number 2 in verse 9, again, you have taken his wife to be your wife, one wife. Notice in verse number 11, behold, I will raise up evil against thee of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wife in the sight of his son. Thy wives will be taken away from you, David. You took one wife, we're going to take many of your wives away. And the next one, in verse 12, for thou didst it secretly, David, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Oh, imagine David. You know, David repented. But yes, you repented, David. That was before. Notice the judgment has already come. And the result, and it, of course, then, thank God, David actually told it, I've sinned against the Lord. David didn't repent because he was caught. If you look at Psalm 51, Psalm 32, you realize he was brokenhearted because he has sinned against God. Oh, that we, as even as God looked at our life, you know, one of the things that God has taught me, and I hope in Ambassador we always have that heart, our hearts will always be broken when we sin against God. Oh, don't brush it away. David was broken, but you know, David, Nathan say, you did this secretly, verse 12. Your wives will be defiled openly before all Israel. In verse number 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the judgment is, the child also that is born unto thee shall die. You know, David loved that son. He fasted and prayed for him. God says no. It's to teach you a lesson. How dare you do that thing? Christians, can I say this? If you do anything that would even cast a shadow on God's name, be sure your sin will find you out. When you do anything that would dishonor God's name, God will. We will reap from that, okay? That's negative. Let's look at the positive one. David's life again. Though David did sin against the Lord as a whole, he did walk with God and saw what is good. Look at 1 Kings. Okay, look at his life. 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 5. You know what? This gives us hope as a Christian. This gives us hope as a Christian. Can I say this? If God is speaking to our hearts in some way, don't chase it out. Don't always look at the bright side. Deal with that sin and say, Lord, help me. In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 5, when confronted with his sin by Nathan, he quickly confessed. This made David a man after God's own heart. But look at 1 Kings 15 verse 5. When I read this, it was such a... The Bible says, because... Let's read together, okay? Ready? 1, 2, begin. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. You know, isn't it a blessing that God doesn't write us out just because we fail one time or two times? He could have. Adam and Eve. No, baseball, you have strike three times. Right? One strike, psh, out. Forever. But you know, isn't it great? Isn't it encouragement that... You know, that's why I believe in giving people... That's why I believe very much in giving people second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. But some people say, Pastor, you're too patient. But there comes a time. The principle is very clear. The person is still willing to do right, still trying hard. We need to do all we can to help. But if he's closed his heart, then that's when we throw in the towel with the person. But you know, David, a positive illustration, he did what was right in the eyes of God. My question is, have we been doing? Can I say this before I go to law number 5? Of all the ministries that we've been doing in Ambassador, just one thing that someone does in Ambassador is enough to cancel out all the work we've done. Did you know that? I just have to be publicly shamed once for something I did wrong. That is enough to cancel out everything the Ambassador Baptist Church stands for. Does that make sense? I think you know what I mean. That's the application of the law. You will reap more than you deserve. You know why God put that in there? To remind us sin is absolutely sinful. Don't just talk about the church. Can I put it to your own life? When you allow one small speck of sin in your life, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Before long, your attitudes will change. Your Bible reading will change. Your ambitions may change. The way you talk to people can change. All because of one hidden sin in your life. You need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. You will reap what you sow. And very soon, you will corrupt yourself, corrupt your loved ones, corrupt those who trust you, and begin to corrupt everything else. Why do you think God says, kill Achan, all his family, and everything related to him? You know why? To prevent the spread of sin in Israel. Is God unjust? No. God knows. And we will be wise to understand that, okay? Any questions up to there? Let's move on to law number 5, okay? Law number 5. The promise and warning of Scripture is that we reap what we sow. This means that life choices are filled with consequences, both good and bad, temporal and eternal. Reaping what we sow means we reap only what has been sown. We reap in kind as we sow. We reap in different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. Now, at this point, we also reap in proportion as we sow. Now, in law number 4, we are seeing from God's perspective, when we sow one, God will give us 10. That's from God's perspective, when He blesses us. But law number 5, in the law of the harvest, you will reap according to what you humanly have sown. Okay? We humanly have sown. Okay, let me just read on. In essence, the laws of sowing mean as now, so then. Okay? That simply means whatever you are now, whatever you are doing now, you're going to get what you are going to get next time. Example, if I'm a student, I don't study. What am I going to get? Failure. Okay? If you study just chapter 1 for your PSLE, thank God she did it, she covered everything, alright? Including some extra lessons. At least she has a chance of answering all the questions. Does that make sense? But if all he does is chapter 1 and 2, when there's 12 chapters, when you go to the PSLE, you will reap in proportion to what you have sown. The PSLE is going to cover all 12 chapters. But if you just do chapter 1 and 2, you will just reap whatever you have sown. Does that make sense? If you put in effort for 2 chapters, then expect reward from 2 chapters. Many of us pray, oh God, I've been serving you, although I didn't study much, but God, please bless my exam. Fine, I'll bless you for what you have put in. You know what scares me? I thank God we're still going on tracting. It made sense to me now why some churches don't grow. I'm not saying that we are growing very fast. The devil has a lot to do with pushing things back. But if we don't go out every Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and now Saturdays, thank God, the Filipinos are going on Sundays. God says, the law of the harvest is, you will sow in proportion to what you put in. And you are not going to get more than that. Example, if you sow 10,000 tracts, I was just discussing with my children just now. According to statistical research, for every 200 doors you knock on, only one will respond. That is 0.05%. Of the 18,000 tracts that we're going to give out, you know how many people will respond based on the statistic? Quick, don't go in mass. Of the 18,000, come on Jacob, you can do it. 18,000. This is a PSLE question. For every 200 tracks, one will come to church. If the church prints 18,000 tracks, how many people will come to church? Quick, tell me, you don't laugh. Who else? How many? 90 people may come to church. Responses. Of the 90, now that's part B of the maths question. Then there's an attrition rate of 2.6 to the power, whatever. Then there's attrition. Maybe after that, 90 people may respond. Of the 90, we may have 30, 20 to join the church. You know what? We can expect at least 30 people in the next 1.5 years. We will hit 100 or close to 180 people membership. Does that make sense? But you know what God says? If you're not going to go out with the 18,000 tracks, guess you. But brother Johnny, it's so hard, you mean? We're not talking about machinery and productivity according to industrial so-called processes. We're talking about souls. We're talking about souls. Any questions? Well, the last two laws are related. Okay, let me read this one. As now, so then. Not someday, then I'll get started. Because today, we are... this phrase is important. Because today, we are becoming what we will be the rest of our lives. If you don't sow today to your character, you will be the same 10 years from now. That's why it's interesting. Some people have never... You know, some people have never grown. Look at your life. Have you grown? Has your temper reduced? Are you able to control yourself more? Do you speak kindly better now? Is your thinking changed with regards to God's work? Are you more in tune with what God wants? Do you serve God a little bit more? Do you find that your attitudes are changing with regards to dealing with people? If not, you have not changed because you have not sold to that particular place. Can I say this? Fathers, if you don't change, your children will not change. They will continue to live for the world. We got to get rid of things out of our lives so that our children can see Christ. Parents and moms as well. Back up your husband together as one. And for the Sunday school teachers and everyone, we need to live, we need to sow to ourselves. Have mercy on me. God change me so someone else can change. Because you will reap in proportion to what you sow. You're not going to change. God says, fine. Maybe that's why every member should come to Christ as quickly as they should. Why is it that in Andrew, I'll be talking about Andrew principle in John chapter 1. The first thing he found Jesus, what did he do? The Bible says, first go and find out his own brother. And Peter, whoa, that's the Messiah. And Andrew was very quick to bring, because why? Things change. Things change. Can I challenge you? You reap in proportion to what we sow. I target fathers, you know why? Fathers, you are the example. You are the pastor of your home. Men in the church, we need to set examples. Moms, you're not exempted. But live that godly lives in support to that. So that younger ladies and those can look up to you for guidance. Oh, we need to so-called... I watched the film Divided. And I believe that. And there's this part that talks about how we need to just get back to family supporting church, church supporting families to grow. To grow. Not families as one, stand off the church. I'll just do what I want, when I want it, have my own thing. I will not grow. It's interesting. God put the church and the family together to help one another. While the last two laws are related, there's a very important difference. The last two laws deals with the very fact we reap more than we sow. Both deal with the quantity and amount. But the previous law, okay, talking about God's part, and this law, we reap in proportion to what we sow, deal with our human responsibility. I just want to, I know there's some blanks there, I just want to give it to you. It has to do with living by faith, with being faithful, bold, courageous. And the word is used venturesome, meaning that you're willing to step out by faith to do what God wants you to do. we need to understand and ask ourselves this question: have I sown? What direction have I sown in my life? Okay? God's part is in whatever that is sown is multiplied manifold. Man's part in that is trusting in God's providence, mercy and promises. He needs to sow all the good he can and leave the results to God. Does it make sense? As a church, we give all we can. We go out all we can. And for me, this is a principle. I don't mean to impose what I believe. But I believe this principle with my heart in ministry. If I don't do it, no one else will. If everyone in church will have that mentality, if I do it, no one else will. We'll all come together with the same heart. We are in submission to God to serve Him alone. And God, it is your glory and master. I don't care what people do. I'm going to follow you. The whole church will be on fire for God. Does it make sense? And if we will just have that heart. You know, I heard one American team missionary in 1981 say, you know, if the Apostle Paul were here, he will say, hey guys, come on, let's go Orchard Road afterwards and let's go tracking. Of course, he has the privilege of not having a family, but you know, he'll just keep going and keep going and keep going. Why? Because souls need to be saved. God wants us to have that heart. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, I'll just read, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Oh, I begin to understand this principle in the context of my family and the church. If as a church we don't sow bountifully, you know, I cringe every time people tell me attracting is not effective. Can I say this? The people who say that oftentimes are not the people who go. They're not prepared to put in the effort. But God says, in the law of the harvest, you will reap in proportion to what you sow. Or you take up the argument with God. If that's God's will. If you sow sparingly, you get back sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will get back. And you know what? God has blessed us. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers who, you know, even this planning of the children's outing, I don't take that for granted. The Filipinos are quietly doing their work. Do you realize that? Do we pray for them? Do you realize our Filipino brethren are out there in MRT and shopping centers trying to give tracts? I'm not putting them out on the pedestal. I'm saying, let's do more together for God. I pray for God. We need helpers in the Filipino ministry. God sent a teacher. And Brother Toriano, he taught in the previous church. He sent. And you know what? It's an answer to prayer. Telling me that God says, move. Move. You know, there's so many things. I'm only halfway through. But I think I'll start here. But any questions? I think the last verse ought to be an encouragement for us. A challenge for us. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Can I say this? If you're not reading your Bibles, if you're just reading your Bible sparingly, you will grow sparingly. Agree? This is what the Bible says. If you sow to your Bible reading sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you pray sparingly, you will reap sparingly. In your personal life, if you sow to the world's goods, the world's ambitions, bountifully, you shall of the world reap bountifully too. And what the world gives you is corruption. I'm not talking about your sense of duty. You got duties to do. Fathers, you got to work. Mothers, you got to take care of the house. Those are your duties. And you do a good job of it. Teachers, workers, you work. Those are your duties. You do a good job. But what are you sowing in your spare time? What are you sowing in your spare time? If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. Let's finish with John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll probably bring up again next week, but I just want to read John chapter 6. This came to my mind. Verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto him and said, Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth, 8 months worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Well, what are they among so many? Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, were given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and his disciples to them that were set down. And likewise, all the fish as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, get up the fragments that remain. In the van there is one CD entitled Press On. I think we all know. Song number 15 is about this boy. There was a little lad. He's a nameless lad. We will never know his name. If you know, if you have seen John Ben the Baker, and apparently he's Ben the Baker, but that was just speculation. Okay? A nameless lad gave his lunch. You know what that tells me? The multiplying power of God. You know, the 1,000 souls for Christ may not be a dream after all, when we understand the law of the harvest. But you know, God says, I need people who will put that law into motion. Like this little lad who gave just 5 loaves. Can you imagine if God multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed more than 10,000 people? Because the Bible says only 5,000 were men. You read the passage properly. Didn't include the wives. Didn't include the children yet. Can you imagine more than 10,000 people that day? God fed them all. Because one person was willing to sacrifice his lunch. Think of what God can do when we are willing to give our lives. Brother Johnny, does that mean there are certain things that I have to give up? If I said no, I would be lying to you. Service to God always requires sacrifice. But you know what? Of all people, I just saw that clip from our dear sister Sarah, who said he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. What a blessing from a young Christian. Are we willing to give? Those who are older in the faith, how much are you willing? Is it about time you set the example for the younger ones? We are going to have about 10 young Christians, not young Christians, 10 Christians coming to the church. What kind of Christianity are they going to see in Ambassador? Oh, it's challenging, isn't it? In my mind, next year will be very challenging. Because I believe we need to change a lot of things for the glory of God, to get ready for the type of church that God wants us to have. The church is not built on structures and processes. It's built on people. Because the church is people. There may be structures and processes, but it will break down if people don't commit themselves to God. And can I challenge you? I don't know. My heart is just heavy with this. I'll just finish with this. There's 2 things I'm concerned about. The church growth, but more important, if the church needs to grow, then individuals need to grow. Because the church, after all, is people. Families need to grow. Oh yeah, we also have our young adults and our children that come. All of us need to grow collectively. May we never be so closed in our cliques. I don't believe we have much of cliques. If it starts to happen, you know, it's going to be, when the church grows, it's going to just spread. Oh, we need to learn to be one in Christ. And may God help us to sow. to him. And so, in proportion, God's going to get us to reap, but we know we need to sow bountifully. Cast thy bread upon the water, and you shall receive after many days. God will help us. And you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing God bless you. I think my heart, as much as church growth is in my heart, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. God's going to bless us. I'm not looking forward to it. It's, Lord, how are we going to get it there? How are we going to put the things properly? How are we going to... No, I can tell you, my heart right now is, Lord, help us to set the foundation right. Let there be no schism. Let there be no division. Let there be no, I need to do it my way. I want to do it this way or that way. Let's work together for the glory of God. Can I say, what I say doesn't matter if it's not in the Word of God? What I think doesn't matter. My opinions doesn't matter. What I stand for doesn't matter if it's against God's will, against God's work. We need to just be ready to say, well, if that's what we are working towards, well, it's okay if I'm out. Just do it. You know, we need to get, you know, as a church, we get to that stage. You know, I'm teaching the Chinese church about why God added to the church, and one of them was unity. One of them was unity. And may God give us a heart of unitedness for Him. Right, let's bow for the prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. I thank You, Lord, that You are working in our lives in unprecedented ways. And Father, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit would take what is spoken tonight. And Father, throw away the bones. Throw away those things, Lord, that in the flesh that has been spoken. But God, put those meat that the Holy Spirit wants to feed us with into our souls. That God, we will take it as the Word of God. Not as the Word of man. Like in 1 Thessalonians. How Paul was so deeply encouraged because the Thessalonian church took the Word as if from God. Because it is. God, You promised us that we will sow in proportion. Or rather, we will reap in proportion to what we sow. God, we will sow more. Or rather, we will reap more. Because You are involved. And Father, the law of the harvest dictates also that we will reap at a time different from the time of sowing. We won't get it immediately. Help us to be patient. Help us, Father, to be willing to be faithful. Not just with the work, but with what's inside of us. Help us to be humble in Your service. Oh Lord, help our church. Oh God, help us as a people to have the mind of Christ, who was broken, deep humility. And Lord, help us to be meek, because You are meek. That every one of us, Lord, will manifest the sweet spirit of Christ. What an encouragement, Lord, even as I pray to share with the church how visitors have been touched by the cheerfulness, love, kindness, compassion of Ambassador Baptist Church. But God, it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about You. It's about You getting all the blessings, You getting all the praise, Lord. Lord, if ever the praise comes on Ambassador without You, God, do something to wake us up. That God, we might be constantly humble and faithful to You. And I pray for Ambassador. I thank You for every church member who are willing, Lord. I know sometimes the flesh is weak, but God, strengthen us to trust You with all our hearts. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. With eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this. Has God spoken to you in some way? I just want to pray for you. If you're saying, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me about the law of the harvest. We've got two more laws, but God has spoken to me tonight. Can you just pray for me that God will help me apply those principles? Is there anyone like that? Pray for me that I might be the type of person God wants me to be. Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Pray. Those who raise their hand, pray in the silence of your heart and tell God, Lord, help me to sow now. Help me no longer to give any excuse or reasons. If I know it's the Bible, it's the Word of God, and it's true and it's right, help me to give no excuse not to do it. Help me to leave the consequences to You. Because we will reap in proportion to what we sow. Is there anyone? Lord, thank you for what you're doing. I pray, Father, for every one of our hearts. Lord, I ask that it will be an encouragement and challenge. And I know, Lord, some people may take it. But God, I pray that we will look to you. That will be done, Father and Ambassador. We ask for you to do what you see fit. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Help us, Lord, to put ourselves at a cross. I pray for each one of us who are going through different struggles. And Father, it may be time before they can reach this stage. Help them to completely surrender, Lord. And that, Father, they will put themselves and follow Jesus and follow thy word. And God will thank you for what we're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take some prayer requests.